Welcome back to Roundtable Sports. This is your host, John Newman, and on today's episode of the podcast, I don't have anybody with me, but I'm going to be talking some of the biggest news, some injuries, suspensions, some rookie predictions, and talk about, you know, my top 10, preseason top 10 players and who I see as some of the most improved teams in the NFL and the National Football League. So without further ado, let's get into some of the news. Big thing happened. The Green Bay Packers, they decided to release their defensive tackle, Mike Daniels, before the start of training camp to save money. And now the Cleveland Browns are eyeing him. So to see, you know, an elite-level defender, well, elite-level at one point in time, Mike Daniels was elite level. Now that he's up there in age, he's just a good scheme fit type of player. And the Cleveland Browns are eyeing him right now. He is taking a visit to meet with John Dorsey, Freddie Kitchens, and that Browns organization. Other recent news, Sterling Shepard fractured his finger and is expected to miss a ton of time and maybe not return until the first week of the season. That is Sterling Shepard with the New York Giants, the wide receiver who came out of Oklahoma a few years back and has been steadily improving and looks to see a more expansive role in that offense now that OBJ is no longer with the Giants. A couple weeks back now, it's been a couple weeks, Tyreek Hill did not receive a suspension for his involvement in a child abuse investigation in the state of Kansas. You know, I was a little bit surprised there that he didn't get a suspension, given that a couple days earlier, Jaron Reed was suspended for 6 games for a 2017 incident. So, you know, that's kind of just like be weary, Chiefs fans, that, you know, guys have been suspended in the past. Now, as long as nothing changes with the child abuse case, I don't see anything changing with Hill's availability and status for next season. Former Seahawks, now Falcons defensive lineman, Michael Bennett, broke his ankle at the Falcons camp, and, you know, that's a big hit for him. He has traveled to a few different teams the past couple of seasons, and he was, you know, looking to find a fit there next to Dontari Poe in that Atlanta Falcons defense. But some good news for the Falcons. Julio Jones and Deion Jones are rehabbing some foot injuries, and they are on schedule to be back before the start of the season. The Lions, Detroit Lions, have former Patriots rush in. Trey Flowers now on their squad thanks to some offseason moves, but he is starting training camp for them on the physically unable to perform list. And I keep seeing this in the news, and it's kind of driving me nuts. Rob Gronkowski is retired, folks. A lot of people are saying that, you know, the Patriots could get Rob Gronkowski back. You never know. He could pull a Brett Favre. And yes, but I think Gronkowski at this point is pretty checked out. He's content with not being, you know, not going through the physical punishment that it takes to be a tight end in the NFL and do the dirty work, the blocking and stuff like that, that doesn't go, noticed very often. We got some guys holding out from training camp, some big names. Ezekiel Elliott did not join the Cowboys team plane before they went to their off-season camp. Chris Jones here in Kansas City is holding out due to contract situations. Melvin Gordon, another big name, the running back from the Chargers, holding out. And there is two Chris Jones in the league, so I said here in Kansas City, the defensive lineman, big Chris Jones, stone cold Chris Jones, not the punter for the Cowboys, Chris Jones. But that's kind of what we got for holdouts. There is, you know, another situation with suspensions that emerged with Taylor Lewan, the offensive tackle for the Tennessee Titans, and he self-reported to the media that he tested positive for a performance-enhancing drug. And, you know, as a Hoggy, that's kind of, you know, for offensive linemen, you know, performance-enhancing drugs, those guys, they really, really despise of that sort of thing. So it'll be interesting to see how he is looked at by his teammates and the guys around the league. That could hurt his chances at making, you know, all-pro, Pro Bowl lists in the future. Well, not really Pro Bowl, since it's a fan vote sort of deal. You know, I'm not going to harp on him too bad for trying to improve himself, but there are lines that you don't cross in this game. That is a very dangerous game, and whenever you're built the way that he's built, is it really necessary to gain weight room strength from doing supplements like whatever he was on to get him that four-game suspension? That could prove to be pretty big for the Tennessee Titans, who need everything that they have on their, need everybody on their roster to play 100% to be to win that division with the Texans and Colts. So that could prove to be a big thing with Taylor Lewan. I saw something about some polygraph test or something that he was trying to prove himself, exonerate himself with. Not very smart to just, like, you know, say that you fully accept it and then go out and try to refute it with you know, evidence that's sketchy. There is some quarterback camp battles that I wanted to talk about. You know, talked about the Giants earlier with Sterling Shepard, but they drafted Daniel Jones, the quarterback out of Duke, trying to replace Eli Manning, who has been on the decline for a few years now. He will be battling Daniel Jones for the starting spot in New York. And Miami, who moved on from Coach Adam Gase, there will be a battle between Ryan Fitzpatrick, who's been, you know, streaky and at times one of the best quarterbacks in the league. Whenever he's on, you know, that role for like the five or six games that he's on a role for, he's, you know, top level. But after that, you know, the consistency fails him, and that's why, you know, I'm going to walk that back and say maybe not top level. But, you know, there was a point last season where he was, or this could have been a couple seasons ago, where he was, like, leading or second place in fantasy points, something like that for quarterbacks. But he'll be taking on former UCLA Bruin Josh Rosen for that starting job. And, you know, I kind of look at that as – you know, Fitzpatrick is there because he's done this in the past with other quarterbacks, kind of getting them ushered into their place in the franchise and telling them, you know, the things that they can do. You know, I know he's not a veteran of the Dolphins, Fitzpatrick, but he's a veteran of this league, and there's a lot you can learn from guys like that. So that's a big plus if you're Josh Rosen or a Miami fan that's looking to the future with Josh Rosen. In Washington, quarterback battle between Case Keenum, who they signed, and Dwayne Haskins, who they drafted out of Ohio State. A lot of people say with Dwayne Haskins, you get the most upside out of any of the quarterbacks in this draft class. And I tend to agree with that statement. I think, you know, he flashed some incredible skills and showed that his arm was NFL ready. So wouldn't be a huge surprise to me to see him go ahead and win that starting job. Lots of praise coming out of the Arizona Cardinals camp for rookie quarterback Kyler Murray. Guys are saying, you know, saw some linebackers saying that he's making, you know, throws that, are definitely pro level, that will definitely work on Sundays. So that'll be interesting to see if that unfolds once it gets to 100% full speed in game time with, you know, the undersized quarterback in Murray. And, you know, the first year head coach in Cliff Kingsbury. So yeah, there's that. I didn't have much more for news for you guys, I don't think. I kind of covered the bases. and you know, the main things that are being talked about with the NFL right now. Now I'm going to get into, you know, maybe my more improved teams, who I see as, you know, potentially more improved teams. You know, for the Redskins, you know, I have them on my list, but it would be hard to improve from where they were at under Alex Smith whenever they were on a roll before he got hurt. With Haskins or Keenum playing quarterback. But if Haskins is able to showcase, you know, everything that he's capable of, and even Case Keenum too, because there's been points in Keenum's career where he looked stellar. I think that, you know, the Redskins, with some of these other upgrades that they've made, like drafting Montez Sweat and picking up Landon Collins, they will, you know, have an improved defense, especially because Reuben Foster got cleared, I think it was yesterday or today, from, you know, a domestic abuse situation from a couple years back, a year back or so. So that's big time for them. The 49ers cut Foster last year, and they jumped on it. The Redskins made a good organizational decision to take a chance with Foster. And I think that'll pay off for them, especially, you know, now that they've got Landon Collins in that secondary as well. The Browns, of course, everybody has been talking about how improved the Browns look. We'll start with, you know, this is Baker Mayfield's second season. It's only his second season, and, you know, the hype train is very, very strong for him. I think there's still a lot we don't know about him, but it should be easier in this offense than it was last year. Freddie Kitchens, his new head coach, put together with John Dorsey and that management, an offense that's going to have, you know, Kareem Hunt and Odell Beckham to go with Jarvis Landry, who we already had, David Njoku at tight end, you know, they added some pieces defensively this offseason. Pass rusher Olivier Vernon is going to be playing opposite of Myles Garrett. And then on the inside of the defensive line, they added Sheldon Richardson, who has been a beast in the past. He's gone on, you know, 3-4-game stretches where he's the best defensive tackle in the league. And then, you know, he seems to fall off. Hopefully he puts together some consistency for them, because I always root for our guys that come from Missouri. He's from Gateway High School in St. Louis. He's been around Missouri for a long time in terms of, you know, where his name and where it ranks in terms of the talented players that come out of our state. And then they also added in the first round, they drafted Greedy Williams, the corner out of LSU. So that'll be improvement. He's probably going to take Terrence Mitchell's spot. And anybody here in Kansas City, everybody in Kansas City pretty much knows Terrence Mitchell is got, you know, a bunch of nicknames and a bunch of hate for his play on the field. And that's about it. The only reason why we don't really like Terrence Mitchell, he's just given up everything. The Packers under head coach Matt LaFleur, they added Adrian Amos. They added some pass rushers with Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith. You know, I see big improvement with those three additions. And then they drafted two more beasts. Darnell Savage going to be playing safety opposite of Adrian Amos. And Rashawn Gary, the defensive lineman from the University of Michigan, should definitely help improve that defense for the Green Bay Packers. And then on the other side, you're going to have hopefully a healthy Aaron Rodgers. He's starting to click with some of these receivers like Marquez Valdez-Scantling and Geronimo Allison, even though, you know, they might not be Davante Adams' skill level. They are going to put up, you know, some pretty solid numbers next year, given that he is still in that offensive system taking some pressure and elite corner play off of those guys. And then my last team for my most improved teams was the New York Jets. They got, you know, Le'Veon Bell and C.J. Mosley, you know, offensive and defensively, probably the two best signings of this offseason. Bell being, you know, the huge name and what he's been able to do at running back in his healthy time in the NFL has been nothing short of incredible, catching the ball out of the backfield, you know, breaking free with one cut and challenging guys in the open field. He's an incredible runner. They signed, drafted Quinnen Williams, and he was one of the best defensive linemen in this draft class. Which brings me to my next point. Nick Bosa signed with the 49ers before their training camp, so that's good news for the San Francisco 49ers. That he'll be participating in camp in full. And, you know, I said the Jets were my last one. You know, I've got to mention, you know, I hate doing this being from Kansas City, but the Raiders, I don't know where they're playing, L.A., Oakland, L.V., I don't really know. But the Raiders, you know, getting Antonio Brown, getting Trent Brown on the offensive line, signing LaMarcus Joyner, veteran receiver Tyrell Williams to go across from AB, drafting Clelin Ferrell, the lineman, and then Josh Jacobs, the running back out of Alabama, and Jonathan Abram, the safety. There's a lot of room for improvement. I saw how disastrous last season was in the first year under John Gruden. Of course, everybody hated on them for trading Khalil Mack, but they were able to put together a solid draft, and with the money that they saved from moving on from Mack, they were able to make some big-time moves. So that is, you know, kind of props there to John Gruden and Oakland and what they intend on doing. My last bit of news before I get into my top 10, my preseason top 10 players I want on my roster and my locker room. Adrian Peterson is apparently broke. That's a guy who's not going to receive very much sympathy from, I think, really anybody for you know, how in the limelight the situation involving him disciplining his kids using a switch, a wooden twig thing, was. You know, there's going to be a lack of sympathy there. Growing up, Adrian Peterson was one of my favorite running backs. He was one of my first ever fantasy football running backs that I, you know, could just plug in there, and they were my savage for the whole season. So kind of sucks to see that sort of thing, but you wonder how a guy who made, you know, over $20 million in endorsements, over $100 million in contracts can run out of that money. It's quite amazing to me that he must not have been buying any assets, really, just a bunch of toys and things that people don't really want. If he's, you know, getting ready to declare bankruptcy, and I think he's getting sued by a lender from Pennsylvania or something. That's what I was reading. So not very good news for Adrian Peterson. And I don't think he's signed with the team yet this year, unless he's still with Washington. I will look that up real quick. Yeah, he's with the Washington Redskins still. And he's going to be fighting, clawing and running the ball just as he always has, with the power and determination to try to, you know, pay back, some of these, debts that he's, accumulated over what seems to be maybe potentially scammers or something like that, maybe a bunch of mooches in his corner. Who really knows? Adrian Peterson really knows, and, you know, maybe his agents, lawyers, managers, that those people know exactly how he foiled away all that money, forked it over to, like, some grand investment or something. I have no clue, but at least he's still playing at a high enough level. Last year he went over 1,000 yards. With his age, his injury history, people just didn't really see it, and he was able to do it last year. You know, maybe new look offense, Dwayne Haskins is there. Not necessarily the same type of game manager as Alex Smith. He's got a better deep ball instantly. As soon as he came into the league, he had a better deep ball than Alex Smith. But that's not a huge feat, really. That's pretty much all I got on that. I don't really – to wrap it up, you know, I hope the best for AP, really. Then, yeah, I'll roll the ad. Now that we're back from that advertisement, let's get into the fun portion of this thing, my preseason top 10. You guys can come at me sideways at TalkMoreSports on Twitter if you got any disagreements. I've got three honorable mention names at positions where it's a bit controversial to say that these are honorable mentions opposed to being ranked in my top 10, or, you know, maybe you think that they shouldn't be there at all. Oh, and I forgot this. Now that I'm looking at this, I put Michael Thomas here. He seems to be holding out of the New Orleans Saints training camp. I think I read that earlier. So that could be a knock on the Saints. But he's played with Drew Brees and inside of that Sean Payton offense for a long enough time. It really shouldn't affect much if he is doing work outside of that locker room. So Michael Thomas, honorable mention in my top 10. Just due to the fact that he is a chain mover, he gets those clutch receptions, those first down receptions. He can do it all. His routes are crisp and clean. He doesn't get the most separation, but he still catches the ball with his hands and uses what separation he has to make sure that whatever hit he takes is not enough for him to drop the ball. Next is Luke Kuechly. He is my second highest rated inside linebacker going into next season. And Kuechly, you know, is the captain of that Panthers defense that has made it to a Super Bowl in the past. And he was, you know, a big reason why there. I don't really need to say much about Kuechly and how he plays. The Carolina Panthers have had, you know, secondary problems. But still, they were able to, you know, float around middle of the pack at least middle of the pack with Luke Kuechly and that defense. And then my last honorable mention, I put him. He's the only corner that I have honorable mention or in the top 10 in terms of guys that I'd want in my locker room, because I think it's a hard position to judge, and it's a lot of it is scheme dependent. Stephon Gilmore, you know, he played really good for the Buffalo Bills, and then going to New York, I think he's played even better than guys like the McCourties and Malcolm Butler, some guys that were, you know, maybe not top 10 level ever, but really good in the scheme for the Patriots defense, and he has been even better. I think it's overall what he's able to do for the New England Patriots, I would put him over, maybe not importance-wise, over, you know, say, Jalen Ramsey with the Jaguars, because Jalen Ramsey, he gets into a funk, and he's beatable, he's real beatable, exploitable at certain points. We saw that when the Chiefs took them on, and he was kind of in a funk. I know, if you analyzed all the target numbers and all of that stuff, you could probably refute what I just said, but there was a lot of talk about him being on a downhill slide at the beginning of last year. He cleaned it up, and him and Boye had a good season there for the secondary in Jacksonville. But I would put Stephon Gilmore over him in terms of who I'd want on my team inside of my locker room, just because he's done it in two different places, done it well, and been a pretty humble character as far as corners go. So starting my top 10 list, Julio Jones, wide receiver for the Atlanta Falcons. Everybody knows what Julio Jones is capable of. As he's getting older, he is getting, you know, more creative with his ways of getting space. He's a wily, wily receiver. He finds that space and he makes sure the defense regrets it every time. He's still got the top end speed to burn some of the best corners in the league, especially with the way that he runs routes. And, that's what I got for Julio Jones being my 10th rated player. And not to mention, where would Matt Ryan be without him? You know, it's hard to think, you know, what he does getting guys like Sanu and Calvin Ridley open. You know, even his tight end Hooper benefited a couple years back when he was healthy with Julio Jones and what he takes away from a defense. I think, you know, it's top 10 in difference making. Next up, a big time difference maker for the Chicago Bears, Khalil Mack, number 9 on my top 10 guys I want in my locker room. He's just, you know, got the high motor. He's celebrating with you know, his sack dances, and he's getting the ball out whenever he's getting to the quarterback. You know, he finishes plays really, really strong. And, I have him rated at number 9, which would fall into my second spot for outside linebacker slash rush ends and on my list. And you'll see who I got coming up real soon. At number 8, I've got a veteran quarterback, a wizard, short man, Drew Brees, New Orleans Saints. He's still doing his thing. You know, he's been around this league for a long time. He's been thought of as a bust or a reach whenever he was with the Chargers, you know, and then he comes to New Orleans. He's able to do all of the great things that he's been able to do since Sean Payton has been his head coach, and even a little bit before then. And I put him at number 8 because I think his demeanor, his calm, and what he brings on the field to New Orleans is as important as anybody's game and what they bring on Sundays, Thursdays, and Mondays in the NFL. Number 7, I've got Todd Gurley, the running back from the Los Angeles Rams. And I put him on here ahead of Ezekiel Elliott due to the fact that I think even though he's had some injury concerns and whatnot, when he is healthy, the landscape of the offense is way more wide open. You don't know exactly what's going to happen on those RPO plays where Goff's pulling it and finding his slot. He's finding Kupp or finding Everett or finding Robert Woods or Cooper Kupp or whatever. He opens up the offense in a way that's Le'Veon Bell-like in terms of what Le'Veon Bell was doing in Pittsburgh before he decided to sit out last year and move on from that franchise and organization. Now, I could have put Ezekiel Elliott here and argued a lot of those same points because we have seen the Cowboys without Ezekiel Elliott still, you know, hover around 500, but they're not, you know, a playoff caliber team without Zeke in that backfield, I don't think, offensively at least. You know, now that their defense has gotten incredible with Jalen Smith and some of these guys that they've got, Leighton Vander Esch. Plus, with Todd Gurley, he beats you in so many different ways. One-on-one with defenders, he can get underneath and truck you. He's very, very elusive. He's one step, and then he's back to full speed. Hopefully, he's still able to do that with some of these injuries that he's had more recently, you know. And they're in good hands with C.J. Anderson as well, backing him up. At number 6, Von Miller. That was the pass rusher that I put over Khalil Mack because I think, you know, more than just a pass rusher is what you get with Von Miller. He's been incredible for the Denver Broncos. I've got to see him play 2 times a year guaranteed for the past, you know, since he's came into the league, being a Chiefs fan, watching every single Sunday or listening on the radio if I'm at work. I think that Von Miller is one of the best, if not the best, defenders of his generation, of like maybe like a 5 to 10 year span and where guys were drafted. He filled out, you know, all of the potential, did Von Miller coming out of A&M, And he exceeded some expectations and leading the league in sacks for several years and whatnot. Not enough can be said for how important Von Miller is to the Denver defense. We saw, you know, him carry Peyton Manning to a Super Bowl. Essentially, his defense did everything, and he did almost, you know, three quarters of the work for that defense. It seemed like their corners probably not getting close to the numbers and picks and deflections without, you know, the pass rush of Von Miller. At number five on my list, I have, you know, a game breaker at wide receiver, a guy who, you know, above everybody in the league, I think is the most talented wide receiver possibly since Jerry Rice, DeAndre Hopkins, the receiver for the Houston Texans. And that's very high praise coming from me. Jerry Rice is the greatest player to ever play the game, period. But Hopkins has got, you know, those cold, cold hands. His ability to catch in traffic might not get as much separation as some guys, but he still, you know, he throws his head one way and he's back the other way. He's stretching out. His catch radius is amazing. And you don't know what's hit you with DeAndre Hopkins. He's a big, big part of the Texans offense, more than, you know, the running back play with Miller and across from him. They've not really had the best wide receivers, and he's had to do a lot of it on his own with Watson, of course, being his quarterback. So DeAndre Hopkins is the first guy in my top five on this list. And at number four, I got, you know, Tom Brady. Everybody, hold your breath here. It's going to be something groundbreaking. No, I really don't have to explain this one much. Tom Brady, I still got him in the top five in terms of players that I want in my locker room right now for this coming season. I'd take Tom Brady over most of these guys, and even maybe one or two of the guys ahead of him. Actually, no, I'll take that back. I'll stick with the defensive guys that I've got ahead of him, and then, of course, my guy. Okay, number three, Bobby Wagner. I put him ahead of Luke Kuechly in terms of the best middle linebackers in the league because the Seattle Seahawks as a defense, led by him being their captain, have been top-notch for the past, oh, God knows how many seasons have the Seahawks been a solid defense that once you go into Seattle, you don't want to face them. With that home crowd behind them, and Wagner is able to do a multitude of things. Maybe not elite level pass rusher, but he's amazing against the run, and in pass coverage, he is one of the best. I can't really say much more. I don't get to watch the Seahawks a whole lot, but. When I do, he seems to be, you know, all over the place. And if he's messing up, you know, he's not one of those guys that just continues to mess up. He'll make a play and he'll turn it around. Next, number two, the best defender on my list, Aaron Donald. No surprise really there. Donald has been a fixture for whatever team he plays for, whether it be the Pitt Panthers, the Los Angeles Rams. I mean, he does amazing, amazing things as an interior pass rusher. He puts up numbers that some outside backers a lot could only dream of doing consistently in the pass rush. And he does not lose any points in the run game. Really at all. He's able to plug holes. He's able to get off of blocks and make those effort plays, finish plays that get busted by other guys on his line. And he's, you know, very, very disciplined in his gap control and all of that. You know, maybe not disciplined to the point where he's doing exactly what's asked. He's doing what's asked and some. with his physicality and ability to do, you know, two things at once. He's one of those guys that could be taking on a block from Joe Staley and be bringing down the running back at the same time. You know, you got a full strength lineman trying to push you back, and you've got Aaron Donald with one hand on the lineman. He's reaching out and he's trying to get the back. He's that type of player, and that's why I have him as my top rated defender and number one on my preseason top 10 for the top players in the league entering next season. Look no further than my hometown. I get to see him play live several times a season in person. Patrick Mahomes, the reigning MVP. One of the best, if not the best, starts to a career in a first season as a starter that you can have at the quarterback spot. Going from Alex Smith's backup to MVP in one season, it's going to be interesting to see what he's able to do in year two now that he's got a better defense, the same exact offensive line, the same offensive weapons, minus Kareem Hunt, who we've already seen the Kansas City Chiefs have success without him, and some young guys that they drafted with Mecole Hardman and Darwin Thompson, sorry. A lot of people see him as a smaller role type of back for this team. But all of it goes to the benefit of Mahomes and the things that Andy Reid is going to be able to do with his offense this year, because he now has, you know, a lot more trust in certain plays, play calls, audibles, certain things like that, that Mahomes is going to have more reign and control over. It's going to be an amazing season to be a Kansas City Chiefs fan. And on that note, I think I'm going to go ahead and wrap up this episode of the podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, subscribe on whatever player you're listening, whether it be Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Anchor.fm is where you can get the episodes as soon as they're released. This was a re-record. I tried to do this one yesterday, and then a lot of news came out of training camps yesterday, and I wanted to touch on that Adrian Peterson situation. But yeah, I'm looking forward to this next season. Probably going to get up to St. Joseph to see some of the Chiefs' training camp this year. And yeah, I'm just really looking forward to it. If you enjoyed it, enjoyed this podcast, go ahead and follow me on Twitter @TalkMoreSports, and as well as subscribe. Thanks for listening.